The life of Frederick Douglass began in uncertainty, and that uncertainty was not accidental. It was part of the design of slavery. He was born around February 1818 in Talbot County, Maryland, near the eastern shore of the Chesapeake Bay, but like many enslaved people in the United States during the 19th century, he was denied the basic knowledge of his own birth date. That detail, which may seem small at first glance, reveals something profound about the world into which he was born. Slavery did not merely steal labor. It stole names, family ties, time, memory, childhood, and even the right to know the first facts of one's own existence. He was born Frederick Augustus Washington Bailey, long before the world would know him as Frederick Douglass. The name he later chose would become one of the most important names in American history, but the child born in Maryland had no such certainty ahead of him. He entered life not as a citizen, not as a protected child, not as someone whose future belonged to him, but as property under a brutal social order that reduced human beings to assets. His earliest world was not shaped by freedom, schooling, legal protection, or stable family life. It was shaped by bondage, surveillance, racial hierarchy, and the constant knowledge that an enslaved person's body could be bought, sold, punished, rented, inherited, or broken according to the interests of others. The Maryland of Douglass's childhood was a place of contradictions. It was not the deep south of endless cotton plantations that later came to dominate the popular imagination of American slavery, yet it was deeply invested in slavery all the same. Maryland was a border state, tied economically and culturally to both North and South. Enslaved people worked in fields, homes, shipyards, ports, farms, and workshops. Some lived on large plantations, others were hired out to labor in towns and cities. This variety did not soften slavery's essential cruelty. It simply meant that bondage could take different forms depending on geography, wealth, occupation, and the temperament of the enslaver. Whether a person was forced to work in a tobacco field, serve in a kitchen, tend animals, chop wood, carry water, or labor in a shipyard, the central fact remained the same: enslaved people were denied ownership of themselves. Douglass's early childhood unfolded on the plantation and surrounding holdings connected to Colonel Edward Lloyd, one of the wealthiest men in Maryland. Lloyd's plantation was not only a place of agricultural production, it was a symbol of power. The property was large, organized, hierarchical, and built on the labor of enslaved men, women, and children. To the white elite, such an estate represented wealth, status, and order. To the enslaved, it represented forced labor, discipline, hunger, family separation, and fear. The grand house, the fields, the barns, the stables, the overseers, and the slave quarters all formed part of a system in which human life was arranged around ownership. As a child, Douglass was too young at first to understand the full machinery of slavery, but he understood its emotional realities early. One of the most painful facts of his childhood was his separation from his mother, Harriet Bailey. She was an enslaved woman, and like countless enslaved mothers, she was denied the right to raise her child in any normal sense. Douglass later remembered that he saw her only a few times, mostly at night, after she had walked miles to visit him. Those visits were brief, difficult, and shadowed by exhaustion. She would lie down beside him, offer what tenderness she could, and leave before morning to avoid punishment or fulfill her labor obligations. This separation was not a random misfortune. It was a structural feature of slavery. Enslavers often separated children from mothers early in life because the system had no respect for black family bonds.